Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, constantly monitoring our ports of entry to keep the New World screwworm away from our borders. They named one of their GMO bugs after us. We got that story plus Meet the New Fink, same as the old Schwab. But first, what really happened in Alaska Summit by Pepe Escobar, grabbing this from thecradle.co. Alaska was not only about Ukraine. Alaska was mostly about the world's top two nuclear powers attempting to rebuild trust and apply the brakes on an out-of-control train in a mad high-speed rail dash towards nuclear confrontation. There were no assurances, given the volatile character of U.S. President Donald Trump, who conceived the high-visibility meeting with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, but a new paradigm may be in the works nonetheless. Russia has essentially been de facto recognized by the U.S. as a peer power. That implies, at the very least, the return of high-level diplomacy where it is most needed. Meanwhile, Europe, dispatching their lineup of impotent leaders to Washington to kowtow in front of the emperor, the EU's destiny is sealed into the dustbin of geopolitical irrelevance. What has been jointly decided by Trump personally and Putin, even before Moscow proposed charged with meaning Alaska as the summit venue, remains secret. There will be no leaks about the full content, yet it's quite significant that Trump himself rated the Alaska summit 10 out of 10, 8 thumbs up, across global majority latitudes. Alaska displayed the fraying Atlanticism in no uncertain terms, revealing that the U.S. seeks a meek Europe subjugated to the strategy attention, otherwise there's no EU military surge, buying billions worth of overpriced American weapons with money they don't got. At the same time, despite covetous U.S. oligarchic private designs on Russian business, what Washington's puppet masters truly want is to break up the Eurasian integration, and by implication, every multilateral organization you've only really ever heard about here on New World Next Week, the BRICS, SCO, Shanghai Cooperation Organization, driven to design a new multinodal world order. Of course, a NATO surrender, even as it is being strategically defeated all across the spectrum, remains anathema. Trump, at best, is applying lipstick to the pig, trying to craft, with trademark fanfare, what could be sold as a deep state exit strategy towards the next forever war. Putin, the Russian Security Council, the BRICS, and the global majority, for that matter, harbor no illusions. And as we were messaging just a couple of days prior, James, you, myself, and Brock, insert the picture of all those little inept EU care. Again, just the I could see the smug emissions from those EU dinosaurs. You could see how pissed they are. They're all, you can tell in the body language, they're all crossed and mad. In other news, Ukraine turns front lines into testbed for foreign military tech, draws 45 potential collaborators, which is the term used for world wars, and Trump says he's willing to support European troops in Ukraine by air as part of potential security guarantee. So, James, a lot going on, and we discussed the Alaska summit last week as they were heading into it, and now we've seen it, and now what do you think?
I am somewhat skeptical that the Alaska summit will go down in history books as anything particularly important, because it does seem like, what is the point of a bilateral talk between two countries regarding actually a third country that the second country is at war with, that the first country is, like, I don't know, it's a weird setup. So I'm not sure what was really accomplished here, but let's just put the final bow on this, because that Alaska summit was old world last week. We're new world next week. So let's talk about the latest update. Lavrov, as in Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, says talks about security guarantees for Ukraine must include Russia, which seems like a basic sort of thing. But it alludes to what you were talking about there with Trump. Support is talking about supporting European troops in Ukraine with air support. What was all that about? Well, the EU, the Eurocrats, the Euro warmongers, have decided that they are part of something called the Coalition of the Willing. Hey, there's a flashback for you, in which they're talking about they're going to insist on having European troops stationed there in Ukraine to preserve whatever peace ends up getting made. The only thing they forgot to do is, I don't know, consult Russia about that. And Russia is saying, hey, no, that is absolutely a non-starter for us. That's not going to happen. But Trump's already like, yeah, let's support it with air. So we'll see what comes of that. But the latest, Kremlin makes clear there are no Zelensky-Putin talks on the horizon. So apparently Putin had said that he was open to the idea of direct talks with Ukraine, but immediately Lavrov came out to clarify, well, there is nothing on the table, we're not doing anything yet, that we're talking about some gradual process that might eventuate in talks. So anyway, as I said last week, I'm not holding my breath for this to end anytime quickly, because again, I think every player at the table has their bread buttered on keeping the war machine going, keeping the meat grinder going, continuing to keep the ever-present war state and the war machine well-fed with human lives. Unfortunately, no change in that, but we'll let you know when and if there is actually a change in this situation.
Were that it old world last week, James, and we could imagine we were back in the before times, the good old days. That's how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 602, nearly celebrating our 15th anniversary here on New World Next Week. Our second story goes to the Nash, and nothing's going to be as well written as that Pepe Escobar piece. BlackRock's Fink appointed interim co-chairman of the World Economic Forum. BlackRock chief executive Larry the Fink has been appointed interim co-chairman of the hated World Economic Forum, which organizes the annual meeting of leaders in Davos, Switzerland. Andre Hoffman, the vice chairman of Swiss-based healthcare company Roche Holdings, has sort of references and connections to Gilead and Rumsfeld and all that good stuff, will also be interim co-chairman of the WEF, according to an announcement last Friday. The world is more fragmented and complex than ever, but the need for a platform that brings together business, government, and civil society has never been greater, Mr. Fink and Mr. Hoffman said at the same time in a joint statement. We remain optimistic. The forum has an opportunity to help drive international collaboration in a way that not only generates prosperity, but distributes it more broadly. This renewed vision can promote open markets and national priorities side by side while advancing the interest of workers and stakeholders globally, they said, using every buzzword and corporate written press release. Both Mr. Fink and Hoffman have been serving on the WEF's board before being appointed to the current position. The latest announcement comes as global economy feels the impact of geopolitical matters and the rise in protectionism fostered by the introduction of U.S. tariffs. The Board of Trustees of the World Economic Forum cleared founder Klaus Schwab of any material wrongdoing following an investigation into allegations raised by anonymous whistleblowers. It also cleared Hilde Schwab, the lovely and talented wife of Mr. Schwab, of any misconduct. Minor irregularities. Again, you try and do any of these things in your job and see if you last. Unless you work for the government. Minor irregularities stemming from blurred lines between personal contributions and forum operations reflect deep commitment rather than any intent of misconduct. We had so much money we were spreading around to make money angels, it got a little mixed up. The board has taken action to address all issues identified throughout the investigation, including strengthening the governance in general. Which is funny, James, because when I went to search up allegations of whistleblowers at the World Economic Forum, I landed on Wikipedia, allegations of employer misconduct and harassment at WEF. On June 29th, 2024, the Wall Street Journal published an article stating that WEF founder Klaus Schwab is accused by former WEF employees of having engaged in two instances of sexual harassment. More disgusting images in your mind you might not be able to conjure. Remember, though, they don't care if you know they're Epstein rapists. They care if you find out how robbed blind you are. Board of Trustees of the World Economic Forum concluded comprehensive investigation of allegations raised by anonymous whistleblowers. That's the press release from weforum.org and the statement from Fink and Hoffman, interim co-chairs of the World Economic Forum. James, it's kind of like the new Prime Minister of Canada. What? Banksters are running giant, important world outlets? Tell me more.
Yeah, I guess the surprising thing would be if it wasn't a critter like Larry Fink, who was a selected to replace Klaus Schwab. Yes, okay, so for people who don't know about Larry Fink and who he is and what he represents, boy, have I got a documentary for you. It's called How BlackRock Conquered the World, so I'll throw that in the show notes so people need to get caught up to speed on BlackRock and on Larry Fink and what kind of, well, Fink is now in charge of the World Economic Forum. I do not have a deep dive on Andre Hoffman. I have not done a deep dive research into this character yet, but maybe one is in order. But at any rate, just looking at the bio, yeah, a vice president of a pharmaceutical company does seem to tick the right boxes for the World Economic Forum. Very on brand, as they say. So I guess we'll see how things proceed from here. I would just say that exactly as I said for the last several years, with Klaus Schwab, he was always just a carnival barker, barking for his particular rebranding of the same old New World Order. It's the same stuff that's just, let's stick a different name on it. It's the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's the Great Reset. Whatever. And, well, now Schwab has been removed from the stage play, but they're just replacing him with some other serviceable puppets who will move in the same direction, no doubt. Prove me wrong. I'm holding my breath, waiting for that. Having said that, yeah, for people who didn't follow the Schwab sexual harassment slash money whatever shenanigans story, that was interesting, and some things came out. In case you ever wanted to know what kind of game Klaus Schwab has, you should read some of the emails he was apparently sending to some of the poor victims slash assistants in the World Economic Forum bureaucracy. Can you feel that I am thinking about you? Etc. Literal quote from one of his emails. So, yeah, try to remove that from your memory banks. And meanwhile, the World Economic Forum will continue doing what it does. But I'd like to think that the WEF's moment has passed. And I would like to think that it is not, I mean, even to the extent that it was ever calling any shots, I don't think it ever really was calling the shots of the New World Order, but it was an effective rebrand and people paid attention to it. People noticed it back during the Great Reset days. But who, I mean, who even notices the World Economic Forum anymore? Maybe we're giving it too much credit by even covering it here. But anyway, maybe, hopefully, this is the sort of the final nail in the coffin of the World Economic Forum. May it rest in pieces.
And not as much interest or attention in Bilderberg or Bohemian Grove this year. I mean, that's the thing. With the coming of Trump, we're throwing out the old forms of the deep state and creating great new forms of the deep state with newer, hipper language. Again, you gotta update your phraseology. Rockefeller, Kissinger, Schwab, Fink. Yeah, I mean, it just kind of, it continues to roll on. If I thought I could grab it quickly enough, somebody did gift me big, you know, almost like the big art book size books that are usually pretty expensive, is the whole story of Klaus Schwab on the World Economic Forum. I believe he is the author listed on the book. And of course, I call it Media Monarchy for a reason, always collecting and archiving things that might be occulted away. Our third and final story we wish was occulted away. U.S. to build $750 million Texas plant to stop New World screwworm. You've heard of Old World last week. Well, it is the New World screwworm. With the presence of a deadly, flesh-eating parasite in the U.S. growing greater by the day. Again, these are the stories they try and scare you with during the summer. Federal and Texas officials are taking serious steps to stop a potential invasion and protect the country's livestock they don't want you to eat or be able to use. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, run for many years by Monsanto creatures brought over by Obama, on Friday announced it would spend $750 million to build a facility in Edinburgh, about 20 miles north of the Texas border with Old Hexico, to combat the New World screwworm. Screwworm, one word, two W's together. A fly capable of killing cattle and other livestock. The plant, said U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins in a meeting with Israel Furster, Texas Governor Greg Abbott in Austin, will be able to produce about 300 million sterile flies per week. These flies would help combat the invasion of the New World screwworm by being dropped into areas affected by screwworm flies. The USDA also announced it'll provide up to $100 million investment towards developing technologies and innovations aimed at accelerating the pace of sterile fly production. The construction of a domestic sterile fly production facility will ensure the United States continues to lead the way in combating this devastating pest we probably ginned up in a lab, said Rollins on Friday. USDA and Customs and Border Protection constantly monitoring our ports of entry to keep the New World screwworm away from our borders. We are working every day to ensure our American agricultural industry is safe, secure, resilient, and all vaxxed up and masks on for their methane farts. The New World screwworm isn't yet in the U.S., which you always have to wait for the, like, the eighth paragraph to be like, there's no evidence of any of this anywhere near you. But it's been slowly moving from Central America in recent months. Back in December, a screwworm was found in a cow in southern Old Mexico. As of August 9th, the screwworm has been detected as far north as near the state of Hidalgo, north of Mexico City. There have been thousands of cases annually since 2023. Before that, it was about 25 a year. Kind of like Lyme disease. Didn't used to have much of it, and now there's this strange cluster in the New England and upper eastern Atlantic area of America where Plum Island and Fort Detrick are. James, I feel like this has been coming back a lot more lately. And again, it might just be because it's summer and it is literally affecting more people. I was discussing on my morning show recently, all kinds of celebrities have Lyme disease. Justin Timberlake, the recent to make his struggle public. And you wonder about this. Oh, because they're so outdoorsy. You know, all these celebrities and actors and folks. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But are you guys ready for some bunny pox? Dangerous virus on the prowl. Scientists investigate Colorado rabbits with tentacles after alarming mutation fears. More nightmare fuel here on your New World Next Week episode. And unused COVID-19 vaccines may have second life in development of new biosensors. White coats scraping out the last bit of spike protein like poor stoners trying to scrape out resin from their pipes. Just throw it in a landfill already. With all their, you know, rocket fuel and lead and psych meds and things. I'll include a video from NBC, Invasive Tick Species Poses New Health Risks, and the numerous, you gotta scroll past the BS for a little bit. But the comments, now you can see that a lot of people call out the fear-mongering, the climate hysteria, the poor grammar of mainstream media, and the U.S. bioweapons labs. It really kind of warms our cold, cold hearts. James, and I will ask you, remember the story a few years back, because it's always Farmer Billy, it's always Dr. Gates ginning up the bugs. I believe it was his Oxitec mosquitoes that weren't supposed to breed again, and that way it'll breed with the bad ones, and then it'll kill them all off, and it didn't work, right? Of course, like anything on the garbage search engines, I can't find anything from, you know, more than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have an update on that because I certainly do remember the story as it was being hyped and sold to us in the media, but I don't remember any follow-up about that. So we'll have to do some digging, and hopefully some of the listeners out there who know about that story and any updates will be able to update us. Having said that, yeah, I think that's an interesting thing to bring up in connection with this, because you brought this screwworm thing to my attention. I hadn't been hearing about it, so I went and started to do some digging on it and found, oh, it was a problem in livestock in North America, including in the U.S., you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. So they started using a sterile insect technique to get rid of the population, where they would X-ray sterilize males of this particular species of fly, and then they would release them out, and so the sterile males would be competing with the fertile males, and eventually that did actually eradicate the species. But I'm holding my breath, well, eradicated it for the time being. Apparently it's making its way back. But I'm holding my breath waiting for them to explain why suddenly, you know, the X-ray sterilization technique that worked half a century ago, that's so half a century ago. What we need now is some kind of gene drive, genetic manipulation, I don't know, make them glow in the dark and grow tentacles or whatever. Speaking of which, yeah, rabbits with tentacles was not on my bingo card list for 2025, but here we are. Having said that, on the invasive tick species story, the longhorn tick, interesting, yeah. This is the one that apparently the bite causes you to become allergic to red meat, right?
There you go.
Which, yeah, it all fits together with, say, Bill Gates and weaponization of ticks. And doesn't it just tick every tick? Ha, no pun intended, but I'll take it. Tick every box when it comes to the agenda. Climate change is making this invasive species go all over the U.S. Oh, no. And guess what? It makes you allergic to meat, so you're going to have to become a vegan. Anyway, I don't know. I'm at the very least, like you, I am just heartened to see that a lot of people in the comments were calling out Bill Gates, calling out the U.S. bioweapons labs, etc., calling out this agenda for what it is. Hopefully, at the very least, more people see through it. So that they know when they get bitten by this tick and become allergic to meat, they'll at least know who to blame for it. I'll take that as a positive side of this story.
And note, it doesn't, oh, it makes you allergic to red dye number 40. It makes you allergic to our poison foods. Again, man, I felt like the crazy person saying this in the decades past. They are turning us into the GMOs, and we'll only be able to grow and prosper with regular reapplications of Roundup. And then what happened? All our friends and family became some weird gene-altered new species. But yeah, doesn't make you allergic to, like, McDonald's. Which might have some, no red meat over there. But think about what you were just saying, too, with, you know, sterilizing the males. You mean, like, the agenda to sterilize human males so they don't, like, grow up and, you know, take charge and have pride and strong work ethics or any stuff like that. Our overuse of you got me writing all kinds of notes there. Our overuse of antibiotics led to antibiotic-resistant superbugs. So maybe they just overdid it with the X-ray sterilization. Maybe they'll blame it on all those anti-vaxxers. So yeah, no overarching plans and agendas. It just happens to all work out this way somehow amazingly, says the coincidence theorists. I get to play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before they are published anywhere. Only me, Brock, and James have heard them. I play them after my Thursday morning monarchy show at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. We are going to be off the air next week. You might have noticed I didn't take my birthday off this year a couple of weeks ago, but I do still have to need to go visit my parents in West Virginia, so we will be off next week. I'll be in West Virginia. If you can't buy me a beer there, maybe you can buy me a coffee.com/MediaMonarchy. It's actually been a great way for some one-off support. As all the platforms turned into make buddy, you know, weekly, monthly supporters, people can just be able to sort of just give you a tip, as it will. NewWorldNextWeek.com will not be shipping out physical products while we are away. We will put a little banner notice on the NewWorldNextWeek.com store, but you know what? That's a great time for digital downloads that don't need hands shipping it through the postal service. You can get corporate reports, all those lessons. You're updating this? Am I allowed to talk about any of that, or just cut that?
We'll just leave it there.
We don't talk about that. Talk about my music compilations.
Sure. Talk about them. How do people get them? What are they?
I have music compilations. So every day on Media Monarchy, I do an hour of live news. I do an hour of music. Live DJed, uncensored by your lifelong professional DJ, James Evan Pilato. I handpicked episodes and put them all together in 5 different folders. So if you are a rock and roll fan, or an electronic fan, or a country fan, or maybe an eclectic jazz fan, there's 5 different zip files, 24 hours each. If you buy them all at once, you get a 25% discount. You would have 5 days of nonstop, non-commercial, passionate, and uncensored radio from yours truly. I know that's not for everybody, James, but that's always kind of been my angle in on alternative media. And now what? I train and went to school to be a radio professional, and everybody and their sister has a podcast now. So there you go.
I feel implicated in that. Well, anyway, yes. So New World Next Week, deprogramming note, we will not be on next week, but we will be back the week after. And Corbett Report, deprogramming note, I know some people got confused. I have the new membership sign-up form that doesn't leak your data. Some people thought, oh, do I have to sign up again? You do not need to sign up again. If you're already subscribed, you're already subscribed. But don't freak out if you go to the account page when you're signed in and it says you have no subscription or whatever. We are still getting all of that data imported. So if you have any questions about your subscription, just email me or Sean. We'll get back to you about it. Don't go creating new accounts. That just makes things more crazy. Just get in touch with us and we'll be happy to sort that out if you have any questions about it. But other than that, I think that's it for this month, I guess. And you said earlier we're coming up on our 15th anniversary of New World Next Week. Isn't it the 16th coming up?
You're absolutely right. We started October 2009. It'll be our 16th anniversary. Hey, time flies when you're ahead of the pack. That's 602, James. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you. Take care. See you in a bit.
Take care.